Alrighty, I'm just going to pull this chair up here a little bit closer so we can hear each other.
Do you need a bottle of water? It's not really
yes,
really
please.
Cold.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. Alrighty. My name's Alex Heaton, and I'm a Marine veteran that I was put in contact with Carrie to come up here and chat with you about your story and about your experiences. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Both as a veteran and as a Oneida veteran, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think just kind of you could give me a little bit of background about you before you joined the military? Just kind of when you're younger, where you grew up, just kind of basic information like that before you joined.
I didn't go to school much. I think I went first in third grade or second grade. I worked for Lights Transfer when before I went to the service. I worked there till I went. No, I went to a CC camp, they called. We got $12 a month. It's just like an army.
Okay.
And then we all go and cooking and cutting wood, you know, to for fire and stuff like that. And then that's where my buddies signed up there, and my cousins, and I signed up, and I went far as Milwaukee. And they sent me back because I didn't have no schooling.
All right.
And 3 months later, I got drafted, I went right straight through.
Yeah.
Then I stayed in Milwaukee. Oh, shit. I stayed right straight through until the. I think I stayed there 6 months in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Because I was in the CC camp and I knew all that stuff, making beds and stuff. And I stayed there. Then I asked the sergeant, how come I'm staying here yet? He said, well, do you want to go? You can stay here. Long as you want. I says, no, I want to get out of here. Then they sent me to Camp Swift, Texas. Then I was with the 553rd Engineers. Then I got transferred to the 294th. And that was a combat engineer. I didn't have much training in the service because I knew everything. I was a demolition man and everything. Now I can't even fire a gun, it just makes you jump.
Really?
And stuff like that I did. I blew a popsicle course on the beach in France. And while our unit was all busted up till about, I forget how many days it was on the beach. And we got back together again.
So by busted up, you meant separated with the other
units?
Yeah. Okay.
Different, you know, on kind of the boat. You got sunk, you know. And then me and this fellow Betts, standing by the deep there. Me and him are stuck together all the way through.
So, which beach in Normandy did you land on?
Normandy.
Okay. With the 290, you said the 294th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I think Omaha was on the left side, you hit the beach. Or was it on the right side? I forgot.
Okay.
Well, there was three beaches we landed. We landed in Normandy. Yeah, it was. When he hit the beach, there was about 2 feet of body.
Really?
And how many drowned it, you know. And I was watching when he was getting off that landing craft. God darn guys disappear. I was like, holy cats, what's going on? You hear bump trailers, craters in the beach, and the water come up, and he filled up, and they jumped off and fell in that hole. And I was watching it. The year when I landed, I was only what, over my ankles, that's all. Because I was on the siding. He says, then I'll wait 2 weeks. Me and just follow it together. Yeah. That was in the Battle of the Bulge. And the Germans were, I think, 7 miles or 6 miles in between. If they would have closed in at 6 miles, we would have lost the war. We would be talking German now.
Yeah.
And all once they run out of ammunition and gas and stuff. And when they pushed back, we was ordered not to stop. Right straight. Right into Berlin. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I forgot.
You know? Right.
Like, Carrie told me that I had 6 battle stars, but I only can count 5 that I know, so I just left that one out. And that's mostly what I was. Was only in there about a year. No, about 2 years. Let's see, I went to 43. I got out in 45, discharged 45.
Okay.
Yeah, about a year. Yeah, I didn't have much training because I had training before.
Right.
The only thing I had to train was, I think, on the rifle, that's all. That's all I could remember. But it's, I mean, it seems to me it wasn't long was I was coming home again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you don't even hear nothing about the World War II veterans. I never hear it.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, you know, on TV like Vietnam and this all this other, all that stuff is on there, you don't hear about World War II. I never.
Really?
And then the Korean, what you call, they made that Second World War, that wasn't. And Japan was supposed to be World War II. But they ain't World War II neither. And then we was World War II, and they got it all together, and it ain't.
Right.
That was, gets me mad when they, like a lot of this, you hear the stories. You never hear World War II. Never. I never did. Unless I wasn't listening to the radio then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was surprised that a lot of us Oneidas were in World War II, but I never met none of them.
Were you the only Oneida in your unit?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah. There's Jimmy House and the other one, Stitch House, I was Francis House, Roy House. He was a prisoner of war. Oh, there was a lot of them that were in landed, but they weren't on the first wave.
Right.
I was, I think it was 8 hours after our boat sunk, I hit the beach with nothing.
Just the clothes on your back?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to take the guns off the guys that were shot. And they strafed there, it was about 7 days, that beach. This plane's covered both ways. All Germans. And then when we hit the roost in about 6 miles, maybe, they had German planes were over us, fighter planes. And that's the first time I seen a P-38 boy, them things in going on, just go over like that. Holy. dogfights up there. Holy cow. We just looked at and watched them. They would chase either. It's just like on a show. But we seen it when they come holding us. Yeah, that's only the most of the things I did. This. Well, I did everything. That, what you got? Drove caterpillar, crane, anything they put me on. So I drove for the colonel. Till we got the argument, that was in France. Told him, I said, I didn't want to drive for you no more. He got somebody else, and then I drove for Captain Reiser, commander. And different ones. That was my own jeep I put together. It was blown up in France. And those guys worked on it at night.
That one in the picture is the one that was blown up?
Yeah.
And you repaired it overnight, you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was all... Well, the engine and everything was good, but it was torn up in the back. Me and that guy fixed it. And I didn't think they would let us have it. But that was overseas, though, you know.
Right.
They let me have it. I had it all the way through. There was... That picture was... I forgot what town was that. I forgot what town was. There's a lot of them guys. All them guys up there is... Well, I'm up there too. All them guys were the buddies of mine. And that fellow's still living. He's old as I am.
Yeah.
And he was, he said he wanted to come out this 4th of July. I said, that'll be good. He said, would you have room? I said, sure, room, we make room. He said, but he'll drive a camper out. I said, well, I said, the tank's right there. I said, the water running right there. That's good, he said.
Yeah.
But then his daughter called me yesterday and said, he turned the other way, now we can hardly walk.
Oh, wow.
He didn't know what's wrong. He was in a veteran's home. He called maybe twice a month, did letters from cards.
So you kept in contact all these years?
Yeah. Well, it was just about... See, when we got here, that would be about 18 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know how he got... Oh, to our captain, Abbott's, he got the address. And from then on, all the address, I really... Well, and then he got my phone number. And when we talked about you, we talked about 5 hours.
Wow.
It was just like you and I sitting here talking. Calling everybody, I mean, each other names. Yeah. And me and him is the one that had a fight in a German town over a darn girl. They shot at each other, too.
Really?
Yeah, we got picked up.
Wow.
And they put his under guard, and he said that his pup tent was here and mine was on this side. And we were just laughing what happened. He says, goofy son of a gun. Oh, gross. Yeah, that's all I could remember. And then that book, you know, want to take it and look at it. And that book, you can take
it. I'll come back up and take copies of it so you can keep the actual book.
Uh-huh.
I'll come back up in another week and we'll
yeah.
Have a look at the pictures.
Didn't I know, know what time you come and stuff like that. And then that you can see that other book in there, it's a smaller one. But that's where the ships, the one side gets in there. And we lost the whole company. There's in Sherbrooke, England. They were planting minefield from a hospital. I was in the hospital. A big field there. And I don't know yet today how that blew the whole company.
Wow.
There was nobody left. I got out of the hospital and we police that area. They'll pick up stuff and shucks, you couldn't find nothing.
Really?
Big hole crawled up there was about 15, 20 feet deep and about 2 miles wide, round.
Mm. What were you in hospital for?
Oh, I had a cold, I guess, or something. That's all.
So, being an Oneida in the unit, were you treated any differently than any of the other guys once you got there? Everything was fine?
No. No. Yeah, I had rank. Staff. Buck Sergeant. Corporal T5. And then I was in Sherbrooke, England. I was up for, I forgot what you call it. It's higher than the first sergeant. They got them brown bars.
Okay. Higher than a first sergeant? A sergeant major?
Yeah. Sergeant major. I forget what the heck they call them. They had brown bars.
Okay, that's how it looks.
I had that, and then I was up for it. I told him I didn't want that because I didn't have no schooling. I couldn't hardly write. I never wrote home.
Really?
He wrote all letters. And Buck Sargent, I only had it, but I don't think I got paid even. Lost it. That was overseas too. Yeah, then I come home, PFC.
They busted you down to PFC, or they just took all the rank away when you got home?
No, they took it away already when I was in.
Really?
And when they discharged me, they gave me PFC.
Why was that?
I don't know. I didn't come home with the outfit dinner. It all spread up. I came home with the 553rd... Tank battalion.
So, do you think you can explain what the eagle feathers are? Like, I'm not familiar with the Oneida tradition for veterans.
I got.
And I just see that you got the eagle feathers here, and Kerry mentioned something about them.
This one here is when I got my ribbons. When they handed me my ribbons, they handed me that too. And that other one is from Oklahoma. He was going to my niece, Evan and Walter were married. And he was kind of like an Indian doctor. And he gave me that too for my my legs where I was swelling up. Now they don't.
Oh, wow.
Indian something, and then he rubbed the feathers on my legs and...
They're fine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got a nephew that's Indian doctor, too. He went to school in Oklahoma. He's a young guy. He never was in the service. He finished school about 3 years ago, I guess.
So do you wear the feathers as part of a uniform? Is there...
No, I could. I could put it on my cap.
Okay.
But I don't want it.
And you also said that you got a French award as well?
Yeah, that's the one, on that one? Shirt. Oh.
Is this one here on the wall?
I think that's the one, yeah.
And what was that for?
I guess for bravery, I guess, or something.
No.
I don't know. When we went to the doings we had for that, I asked that guy, he didn't like it, but I asked him anyway. I says, how come they just now gave us our stuff? They knew we had it coming, but they just now got it. I said, 65 years.
Wow.
And he looked at me and didn't know what to say. And we were all standing in a group on a stage. That Warren Skindor and Paulus and me, that's the only one got that bravery medal and stuff. And they asked the other ones how they enjoyed their how did they feel about their medal they got. They said same thing what he said. Why we get it now? We should have got it a long time ago.
Mm.
And then I got home and mine came apart. And I threw it back to Terry and I says, call him up. So he called him. I said, well, tell him I asked him if he got that damn ribbons out of a Cracker Jack box. They didn't fix it.
No.
Terry fixed it. Yeah, he's a good guy, that Terry boy. I belong to the VFW post. Did he show you the post?
He did.
But ever since, had little trouble, like, I belong to it, but I don't go there anymore.
No?
I go by, I can't think of that name. I've been with him about a year now. Then I used to, before when they had it open, I used to belong, you know, go to all them parades and the funerals and stuff. Now I can't go, but they're leg spotters, you know.
Right.
And they always want me to go to different ceremonies. And I got a bad kidneys, I can't ride far, I gotta go pee rapidly. If I don't, I get wet.
Right.
And then they get tickets for the ball games, Milwaukee, and they always want me to go. I can't go. Because you don't know where you're sitting, you don't know where the hell it's the back. The truth.
Right.
But this. I think it's May 4th. 10 o'clock, they got that from the Railroad Museum. They went all World War II veterans there. I'm gonna go though. They called. Terry said, he'll come after me. I can drive, but I can't. I don't like to drive no more.
So when you came home with the 553rd tanks, how was your homecoming?
There was nobody there.
No.
We got off in New York and there was people there, but to me they treated like we was done.
Really?
Yeah. Even push you off the street.
Really?
Sidewalk, yeah. And they weren't like they did to this Vietnamese and stuff and that Eric, all that. Right now, the half-mast flags of a veteran die. They didn't do that for these guys.
No.
For World War II, they didn't do nothing for them. You know, I said, I wish Germany would have left, would have won the goddamn thing and we all be talking German.
Yeah.
They don't like that when I say that.
No?
And they know I'm just kidding.
So what about here when you came back to the nation here? How was, did you have a homecoming here or?
Yeah, we had well, all together when all the guys came home, they had a big celebration, and that was on the 4th of July day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. That wasn't that neither in that was in 45 that happened in 47 I think or 48, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was all right. I was glad I was home.
Did you, you grew up in this area?
Oh yeah.
That you're in now, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. 88 years here.
Did you, after you got home then, what did you do from after the war? What, did you come home to a job?
I worked for that, Lights Again. And then I worked there for a while, and we went to Milwaukee, and I got a job in the warehouse. Then I didn't like it in Milwaukee, and I came home, and I drove dump truck for 40 some years.
Yeah. What didn't you like about Milwaukee?
I just didn't like it.
No.
I was, I had a, the last place I was working, the last, Hanson Storage, a big company. And then I had, 36 unit a home and took care of that. All I had to do was shovel those and put different summers on this spring. And we got our rent for not, you know, free. And I worked about 8 blocks from work, so I didn't have to drive.
Right.
That's where I didn't like it, Danny. Well, the boss got me my driving license. I never had a driving license. And he got it for me. His boy was an inspector in Milwaukee. He got my chauffeur's license and my regular license. As I drove, I spotted semi-trailers at the docks. So, and then he wanted me to go across town the other warehouse, take trailers over there and make one back, bring them back. And I drove back on no driving license. He said, no. We'll get him tomorrow. So he called his son, I guess, that night. I went in about 9 o'clock. Just drove his car around, just around the block. Kept on going. He said, go back to the parking lot. I thought, oh, shucks, I lost. I didn't get him. He said, you got $4? I said, you bet. I said, well, what about the chauffeur's license? Well, I need $8. She was along my way. I only had $4, and she had and I had the driver license till, oh, about 18 years ago, I quit driving. I mean, I retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I threw them away. I could have got them, the CDL license, but I didn't know it. I'm glad I didn't anyway. Then all I had to show them was my chauffeur's license.
Right.
And then tell them the weight on the wheels. I told him, one of the cop state trooper, I told him I was holding us. He said, you know how much weight you're supposed to put? I said, well, that, whatever they put in the box, I said, I drive. And he didn't like that. I got a ticket. You're supposed to know how much on each axe.
Right.
But I didn't know. This load me up, that's all I care.
So when, what made you decide to move back here from Milwaukee?
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I know. I mean, like when you said you were working there and you came back after 8 years, did you say?
Yeah.
You just finished work and then you came back and that's when you got the job here as a dump truck driver?
Yeah. Okay. I was working up there and I was getting in trouble with the cops too because I'd like to drink. And they was watching me and I told her, I said, I'm going back. I left that morning. That afternoon I got here about noon. Eight in town. And I thought, like, I'll go to that union hall. Yeah. I went there and I was half in a sack. And I went in there and told him what happened, what I. He said, well, he said, wait, he was looking through the books and he said, I got one here, but you gotta go to Two Rivers. I said, well, I want a job. I said, I don't care where it is. So he gave me that, but they're working on Velp Avenue now. He says, that's where I'm going to send you. So I went over there. I was talking to them guys, and they said, where's the head man? His name was Al Sheedy. And they said, there he comes, tall guy. And they come there, and so I walked over there. And they told me how he is. He likes to swear at the guys and holler at them. I guess because I was kind of feeling good, I talked to him and I says, I got this guy from the union. He looked at it. Okay, he said. He says, something about drinking. He could smell it, I suppose, you know. And he said something about that. I said, well, right now, I said, let's get something straight. I told him, my day off is today, I says. I drink when I want it, I says, there ain't nobody going to stop me. And he says, another thing, I got a name. I ain't got, hey, you, or... I said, I don't want you to swear at me or anything. I said, we'll get that straight right then. So he said, can you be here 6 o'clock in the morning? I said, you bet. Never bothered me. Just showed me my truck the next morning. That's yours from now on. I said,
wow.
Just tell him. I just told him. Them guys said, I thought he was going to tell you to go home because they heard me. He said, we don't need you. Never bothered me. Just said, the morning he come, they give me a slip. What I got to do? And I couldn't read it, so I had to give it to another guy to read it to me, and then I am gone.
Wow.
Yeah, I drove, I bet you, well, from 47, 48 till 72. I think that's about 45 years, I don't know.
Did you, when the other wars, when Korea happened and when Vietnam happened, did you manage to stay at work then when they were calling people up? Did you worry about them coming through here to draft people?
No. I didn't even monkey with them. I mean, I didn't even know they were. I really don't remember.
No. So, can you tell me about some of your training in Milwaukee then, before you went over? You said you were the CC camp?
Yeah, that's just like Army camp.
It's just like Army camp?
Yeah. So you got clothes, they give you clothes. You've done our own like for heat. In the summertime, we cut wood. And just like the army.
Was that for anybody that came through, or did you have to apply to do that, or how did you get into that?
That's you sign up for it. Like, they always have somebody come in town, like they come to Oneida and see if anybody wanted to go there. And a lot of them went because there was nothing for them, you know, that time.
Right.
We only got $12 a month, but our room and board and all our clothes. And we had to buy our own cigarettes and stuff like that. But that time, $12 was lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you were recruited out of the CC camp into, you were drafted into the Engineer Corps after that?
Yeah.
And then, how long were you in England for then, before D-Day?
I think 2 months.
2 months?
2 or 3 months, I don't remember.
Do you know where you were stationed, maybe in England? You know what town it was?
Cherbourg. Okay. Cherbourg. He does. You would see across the channel at night when the Germans were firing them rockets, you could see the flash.
Really? Wow. Very close then.
Yeah, then they come over, you could hear them. They just hum. Well, we were there, nothing landed close to us there. But I don't know why I didn't remember getting on the boat when we went across. I mean, when we went to war. All I remembered when the boat got, the boat had shook. And the guy says, I said, what the heck happened? And then it sat over the bike and we got hit. And they were all screaming to get out of the hole. We got another ship first, but then they were landing already, so they loaded us on the landing craft and with nothing. I said, what the heck are we talking about? What the heck are we going to do? And the captain was standing there and says, just grab any gun, he says, there on the dead people. I said, oh. He says, we didn't get orders to do it, but he says, you do that. He says. So we just started, they had the carbines. I had a pistol and what's called, I took off a guy. It was hard, though, to take stuff off the dead people. A lot of them hollering to shoot them, kill them. It was real bad.
Was that still on the boat, or was that once you hit the beach?
Huh?
But you were taking the carbines? Was that on the boat still? Or was
no,
that on land?
On the land. Took it away from them. Took it from the ones that were dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then it was your responsibility on the beach for blowing the obstacles on the way up?
Well, that was way after we had to blow the railroad tracks. Out of the ground, we had to come back. A lot of tanks were hung up on there. They couldn't go through it.
Right.
You gotta know how to put that dynamite on that, what you call on the track, that when it blows, it cuts it right off, even with the ground. I done a lot of that day. Now I even hear a gun go off holding for Los Angeles.
Well, once you got into France, once you got actually into the country, what was your role then as an engineer? were you still blowing, you were responsible still for demolitions?
Oh, then after we had to fix roads right in front of the infantry.
Oh, wow.
We was dislike the infantry, worse than the infantry. Made roads for the tanks. The roads blowed up, we got to fill them, and we was in front lines all the time. We're just lucky I ain't him in it. Oh, we lost some men, not too many though. Then get into a town, maybe they got the bridge blown out, they had to build a bridge. Cross the Rhine River, it took 18 hours.
Wow.
I fell off the pontoon. Is your water that swift? Holy cats.
Really?
Lucky I could swim good. I got there to have a heck of a time, but I got out. When we first started, we didn't know it was that strong. We got out about 190 feet offshore. And that creek, I don't know how the heck that happened. There was a railroad track here and the river, and that water is coming down, and you would shake that boat up and down this way. Now the one went under and took the whole thing down.
Well,
took it all out. They had to, rebuild it again from the end. And then they shot a, I think it was a cannon with a cable. I think it was 3-inch cable or something like that. They shot it over. And guys had speedboats. I didn't go across yet. And they got over there and they anchored it to a tree or something. And then they pulled it, stretched it on this end, and put it on a tree or some kind of thing. And then they put cables on her for on the creek, you know,
right.
This way. Then it held up. Then had the cat halfway on the bridge before they got to the end, and they were going. They got it at the end and made the ramp off there. And I had to push all that rubbish to make road through there. By the time we got done, there was two of us. Then we got done to break that open, the tanks were going through it.
Wow. So you were right at the front opening up that road then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes you gotta work maybe from here to the road. Not all the time. It depends. Like on that river, Rhine River, there was all buildings, you know, along the river.
Right.
Both sides. Yeah.
What was like a most memorable experience that you had? Once you're inside of Europe, is there like a funny story that you and your friend remember? Is that other than the one where you were shooting at each other?
Oh, that was, I don't know what town it was even. I don't know, drug.
How were the French people when you were going through the towns?
They were real good. They would tell where the Germans or snipers are, and they would bring like wine and stuff. A lot of them won't drink it.
Really?
Yeah, them would drink it first, and then they drink it. Then you drink it.
Yeah. They were,
long as they knew you was Americans, then, you know, they treat you real good. Bring you apples and stuff like that. Yes. Even the Germans were, after they lost the war, the people in their towns, they treated us just like the French did, but you always be scared of them, you know, you don't know what the heck they're doing. They had little kids, even 4 or 5 years old, shooting them rifles at you. I didn't believe it, but I got shot a couple times. I mean, shot at, I never got hit. They caught that one little boy, I think he was 4 years old. He had a P-38 on this side, and the P-38 on this other side, and then he had one in his belt.
Wow.
Still good, but to speak. But you had to watch him. Yeah, I guess that's all that I could remember, but like you say, you wanted to take the pictures of the ones out of that book you hid, you know.
Okay, I'll come. What I'll do is I'll come back maybe in a couple weeks, and then I'll bring a scanner up, and I can scan them all onto my computer then. That way you can get to, we don't have to take any of your pictures from you, and you can keep them all. Just one last question. How long were you in the occupation force for inside of Germany before they brought you home?
About 3 months.
Three months.
Yeah. Well, see, me and my buddies were going to sign up for cleanup. And when they were called their names to go home, they didn't.
No.
Well, he did too, but he said, I'm going to stay. We got to learn how to get around with other people again. And if we had about 7, 8 of us, we could get along good. So then he said, I'm going home too. All right, then let's go.
Yeah. What about for medical, once you got home, was there a VA hospital or anything nearby that you went to?
No, I just come home, got to Fort Sheridan. That's where he got separated, you know, discharged.
What was the discharge process like?
This all had to take physical and then get shots and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even come home with my clothes, my uniforms or anything.
They took them back?
No, I left it.
Oh, you left
it at the train depot. I was too well loaded.
How long was it before the VA came about then to the veterans hospitals to help out?
Oh, I don't know, but 3 years, and I went back over there. Then I stayed there about two. I didn't stay there. I went for about 4 years, and then all of a sudden they cut me off.
Wow.
And then I got back over here to where they got in apt, and then they cut me off again about 2 years ago. Because they said there ain't really nothing wrong with me.
I suppose it's a blessing.
Yeah. And then when I got discharged, I had a pension. I was only getting $245, but it would have raised up. Then they took it away because they said it wasn't service connected. And then when Terry got in, and this other guy was in there, the papers are in the drawer. Never touched it. That was what? Oh, close the butt. Let me see, I turned that in 60. 62, I turned that in. And he never looked at it or anything. And when Terry came, he looked at all the papers, everybody, you know. And he asked his dad who I was, and he told him. And so he called me to come in. Why did he come home? I forgot how it was. Anyway, he looked at it. It took, I think, 6-7 months he got my pension back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I didn't get the real lots, but I get along with it. I only get 560 from the vets, but I get along with it. I get the Social Security, 700 and something. I get all together about 1,200 and something.
You'll get by.
Yeah. But they paid me back pay though when Terry got me my pension from 62.
Oh wow.
So and they all always say I go to the office up there and the billionaire, they all stand up at attention and salute when I come in. Oh, when I go to the clubhouse too. I said, you got dead guys make me mad. I said, do we not? Well, you're the oldest one. We appreciate you.
Are you the oldest Oneida veteran?
I think there's one more older than me, but he's in the home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Me, my cousin Dempsey, he lives in Menasha. And Roy Huff. Warren Skinner, though, he ain't that. Oh, he's about 78, I think. I'm 88. And a lot of them, that's old, it's all gone. Died.
Right. So you said that you went to the veteran, you went to the VFW for a while after you got home? You were at the post, was it 77, 84, was it?
Yeah, I was there. I've been there ever since.
What was your role at the post? Did you have a billet?
Just a member. Then my daughter's got to be full-time member. That was, I don't know what year that was. I think 76. 73. I don't know when it was. But I'm a full-time member, Tom.
Well, thank you for letting me come and speak to you.
Yeah.
It was very kind of you. I will, turn this off.